Kemase Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yeshavtem Bo Lo Sasu, Kemase Eretz Kanaan Asher Ani Mevi Eschem Shama Lo Sasu, Ubechukoseim Lo Seilechu. So the pasuk in the is an introduction to the parasha of Arias, warns us not to do like the deeds of the land of Egypt that we dwelt in, and like the deeds of Eretz Kanaan that we are going there. Now, the obvious pasuk pshat question that should bother any thinking person is that it could be Kemase Anshei Mitzrayim or Am Mitzrayim. You know, it should be like the deeds of the nation of Egypt or like the deeds of the dwellers of Kan. Why Kemase Eretz? Like the deeds of the land. The land didn't do anything. Not in the case of Mitzrayim, not in the case of Eretz Kanan. The land is the greatest innocent bystander of whatever atrocities were perpetrated by those who stand on top of it. So why is it called Maase Eretz? It could be Maase Am Mitzrayim, Maase HaKanaanim. Why Eretz Mitzrayim? Why Eretz Kanaan? Now, there's a incredible sifra. It's so incredible that the Malbim doesn't want it, take it literally and wants to invert its meaning. It says, the Sifra says that the Kemase Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yeshavtem Bo. So the Sifra says, like Rashi begins to say, Rashi brings the beginning of the Sifra, that it was worse where we lived and at the time that we lived. The Mitzrayim in the final generation, and where Am Yisrael dwelt, they were the worst. And similarly, the Kananim of the generation that the Jews were going to encounter, and in the area the Jews were going to encounter, so that's Asherim Meviyeschem Shama, they were the worst. So the Egyptians of the time and place of the Jewish people were the worst, and the Kananim of the time and place of where the Jewish people were going to come into the land were the worst. But it goes one step further. It says, Mi Goram, who caused them to be so bad? Am Yisrael that was dwelling there. Who caused the Kananim to be so bad? Am Yisrael that was coming there. So the Asher Yeshavtem Bo, Asher is Miloshin, because. Because you dwelt amongst them, the Mitzrayim were so bad. And also the Kananim were so bad because, Asher, as in because, Ani Mevi Yitzchem Shem, because you will be coming there, that's what's made them so bad. So it's not just that the people of that time and place were so bad, but you know why the people of that time and place were so bad? Because you were there, you the Jewish people, and you made them so bad. You were Gorem Lehem, you were caused them to be so bad. The Malbim finds that hard to believe, hard to understand, and he wants to invert it and say that the Mitzrayim would cause us to be like them because we'd be influenced by them, and the Kananim would cause us, the causation is going on us, that it would cause us to be like them because we'd be influenced by being amongst them. But anyone who sees the Sifra knows that the literal structure sentence does not carry, cannot support the meaning that the Malbim wants to read into it. So that's an amazing thing. Why should it be that our dwelling amongst the Egyptians bring out the worst in them, and our dwelling amongst Kanaan should bring out the worst in them? But this is at least a bit of a clue as to what it has to do with Eretz Mitzrayim, why it's being put on the land, because the land is shared by Jew and Gentile alike. And it seems that we are, we're the ones that bring out the worst in the Egyptians, we're the ones that bring out the worst in the Kananim, because we also dwell in that land, and being on that land caused them to be as bad as they are. All right, to explain all this, there's a simple principle that when a person does something right or does something wrong, there's two things that happen. There's his own personal merit for having done what's right, his own personal guilt for having done what's wrong. So he has his own account with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the choices that he made. But then there's something else. It's not just his choices. there is a spillover effect, because even if he didn't do anything against society per se, but being a corrupt person, you know, even if it's something that a person did in private, right, it pollutes the cosmos, it pollutes the air and land of where the person dwells. As we find, you know, the Psukim talk about Vatitma Aretz, and the land became defiled. We find by the Dor HaMabul, the generation of the flood, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to not just kill out the sinners of the generation, he had to eradicate the whole world. Even three tefachim worth of land got eroded, you know, because that's the amount of land that a man affects by plowing. That, you know, even the world that man touched also gets corrupted by man's sins, and it goes the other way. You know, the world that the world is touched by man's positive deeds, called the land, is, you know, could be sanctified and elevated, and the land itself could be defiled. We affect our living space. We affect our living space. Now, Eretz Yisrael is meant to be only holy and not defiled, and that's why we see in the Ketesh of the Parsha that if we do, God forbid, like the Egyptians or like the Canaan, we will be expelled from the land, because Eretz Yisrael does not suffer being defiled. Right? But it shows that we also affect the land. Because we affect the land, Eretz Yisrael does not suffer us. And there are places in Chutz La'aretz, indeed, you know, we may not be vomited out from there, but we for sure pollute the space when we do wrong, and we fix the space when we do right. Eretz Yisrael, when we begin to pollute it, we get vomited out, so it means we even affect Israel. We do. Except that it responds by as vomiting us out, showing that it can't stomach us, as Rashi says. But the point, getting back to the point, we affect the space that we live in. So now, Am Yisrael was actually come to the world. Right? We were chosen by God to bring God's message to the world. Right? By Matan Torah, called that after Hashem gives Torah, it's Ma'ad Yashim Kol B'Chorz, Hashem, how mighty is your name throughout the land. Right? You know, the Jewish people were chosen even already from the time of leaving Egypt. Right? That Leman Saper Shvi B'Chol Arts were the vehicle to spread God's name throughout the land. And in the future, it says, "Vashem lemelech al kol ha'aretz," will be king on the whole earth, on the whole land. And umola ha'aretz deis Hashem. They're really utopias when, you know, Torah values get mamish absorbed into the earth itself. The earth itself is absorbed with knowledge of God, and the Jewish people are the vehicles to bring this into the world. You know, with our good deeds, with the Torah that we learn and teach, you know, we could bring this message into the world positively by being a light onto nations. We also bring this message to the world by the nations of the world, the goyim, observing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes special care over us and does miracles for us. That also brings this God consciousness and sanctity into the world. But of course, since it's changing world order, the old world order does push back. It's natural. Whenever there's going to be any change, for every force, there's a counterforce. And for every change, there's resistance to change. And that's why Chazal tell us, you know, the Goyim start up, you know, the Yetzer Hara. As a matter of fact, you know, it starts up with Jews more than Goyim, and Talmidei Chachamim more than the average Jew. Besod kol gadol mechavero yitzro gadol himeno. You know, the greater the person, the greater the counterforce that's pushing back against them. Right, because when you disturb the equilibrium, if you're disturbing it in the positive way, the equilibrium doesn't want to be changed. There's pushback. For every force, there's a counterforce, and the greater force, the greater the counterforce. And that's what the Sephra means. Because the Jewish people were, you know, in Mitzrayim, being the Jewish people, especially the last generation that was meant to get the special Jewish identity and get the Torah, and that's what the Sephra says, that the Mitzrayim were actually worse at the last generation. At the last generation, because that last generation was going to be the greatest generation, because that's the generation that left Egypt and got the Torah and started the mission of proclaiming God throughout the world. That nation even did so in Egypt, being the beneficiaries of God's miracles that he did in Egypt, the beneficiaries of the 10 plagues. They did the Korban Pesach in Egypt. So the last generation was the greatest one, and that's why the pushback against them was the greatest. And so the Egyptians, you know, did push back against the Jewish people. The Jewish people are influencing the world, and that's how the Goyim feel it. It's not our own private business, because we affect the land that they stand on earth also. And that's the depth of it. We can't keep our religion in private and conceal it and expect the Goyim to leave us alone, because they feel it. They feel the change we're bringing to the world, because we affect the same land that's under our feet, and the land that's under our feet is the same land under their feet. So that's why they're feeling the ripples of our effects are just, they can't ignore it. They can't ignore it, because we affect the land, right? And they struggle to keep the land their way. They want to fight for their way of life and their world order. And that's why, because we were in the land of Egypt, that most directly upsetting the equilibrium there, so there's pushback. So they fought that it should be Eretz Mitzrayim. The land should remain a land of Egyptian culture with all the corrupt rules. As Rashi says, u'b'chukosem, what makes a land evil is the evil legislations. You know, it's nothing evil about trees growing or even building buildings, as Rashi says. It's the chukos, right, the culture, the legislated culture and law. So they were pushing back against us. And similarly, God, you know, when we come to Eretz Canaan in all our glory with the Torah that we received in the desert, we come with all that spiritual power, there's going to be pushback from the Canaanim. There's naturally, and that's what it means. We cause them to be so bad because they're pushing back against how we're upsetting the equilibrium of the world by trying to move it closer to sanctity, closer to total tikkun. The Goyim, you know, Dafka flare up against us and flare up against God and against anything that's moral as pushback to the moral force that's upsetting the equilibrium of the world. So as a counterbalance to our moral force, they fight back with their anti-morality, with their arias, you know, everything Rashi says, which is so pertinent to today. But it's all Me'es Hashem, that you know, it's not just stomp pushback. The pushback is actually for the long-term benefit, because it means that all the evil is being concentrated to a focal point to rise up against us, and therefore it's easier if we overcome, we've defeated it totally, because it came to a focal point. If we conquer that focal point, if we persevere past that focal point, we've defeated it forever, as opposed to if it would be dispersed and diffused. So we just defeat the particles that we came up against, and the other particles that we didn't come up against would remain unfixed and undefeated. So God makes it that in the short run, it's very painful that there is a concentrated pushback against us. But you know that fact that all the points of the Sitrach are come to a focal point to push back against wherever the Jewish people are dwelling, that means that all the evil gets concentrated to a particular point, and it's a point where Am Yisrael is, and if Am Yisrael beats them, then they're defeated forever. So this idea that we cause them to be bad because they're pushing back against us, right, is actually for the long-term benefit of defeating them once and for all, as opposed to if the evil remain diffused and spread out amongst the globe. All right. So these are thoughts that occur to me, and let's congratulate our president, L'chaim, to Donald Trump and the Republican Party. All right, that amongst the important things that they've done today, right, starts from the partial repealing of Obamacare, but more importantly, much more importantly, was that they legislated, you know, we, the Jewish people, are finally having a positive effect. There was pushback against the values of the Bible that we brought to the world under the Obama administration with the LGBTQ, whatever ISIS you want to say, you know, Fagula rights, right, and to the point that there's religious persecution, that we have to violate our principles to service the sickness of these people. As Rashi says, those were the chukos. And the Safra rather says, those were the chukos, the evil laws that made them so evil was man marrying man, woman marrying woman, as the Safra says, black on white under the b'chukosem lo seilechu. All right, there was a terrible pushback against biblical values, which we have to realize shows that pushback, we should not be disheartened by it, even when it was going on in the previous administration. because it shows that the Bible was making inroads. So there's a pushback against it, pushback against biblical values. But now today there was a triumph to give religious liberty to all those who want to stand by biblical values. And that is a big tikkun, you know, that what makes a nation evil or what makes a nation righteous are the laws that they legislate. They're chukim. So b'chukosam lo tayo, don't go with their legislated laws that are evil. And the tikkun of a eretz is that the dwellers of that eretz, the dwellers of that land, legislate laws that are in line with biblical values. Today was a great victory for biblical values. Rebosh should help Donald Trump and the Republican Party to continue, you know, to push and stand up, at least to give us the free, the full free legal right to practice biblical values. V'haysel Hashem Hamlucha.